Just for just one second, give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see.
Welcome back to Life Matters. This is Mariah Wilde, and I have a very special guest with us, Melissa Slagle, who is a certified traumatic stress specialist, a licensed social worker, and licensed therapist. So, Melissa, we were just talking about children and post-traumatic stress syndrome, and along with that, which can be children identified with that, or just children in general, children can feel very anxious, upset, confused, and sometimes parents just don't know what to do. Let's say a child is crying and maybe says, I don't want to go to school, I don't want to go to school. What are some things that we can do to bring comfort and to bring healing to these hurting children?
Well, the same thing that we've been talking about of being, you know, touching them and hugging them. But one of the things we haven't mentioned is that how the adults are coping with traumatic or stressful things really does impact how the children are going to deal with it too. So you want to help the children avoid developing a permanent sense of loss. The adults are needing to give them guidance to help them reduce their fears. And mainly, several things here, but children depend upon their daily routines. We've talked about that. So keeping a daily routine. Children will also look to the adults in their world as to how to react. So you're going to give them cues on how you react is how they're going to react. I've had very anxious mommies ask me, well, how do I get my child not to be anxious? I said, well, the best thing is for you not to get anxious. So we're going to have to shift to what do you do, as opposed to let's make the children act in a way. And it's kind of that whole thing of do as I say, not as I do. Show them how you're doing it. And because if you react with alarm, the child is going to become more scared. And if they see our fear as proof that the danger is real, they're going to react. And if you seem overcome with a sense of loss, the child's going to feel their losses more strongly. So children's fears also stem from their imagination, so you should take all of their feelings seriously and don't necessarily argue, but tell them that is a nice imagination and a good story, but that's not real. Mm. And children who feel afraid may try to avoid talking about it. And if you avoid talking about with their imagination, and that imagination is just going to continue unchecked. So by your words and actions, you can provide reassurance. And when talking to your child, be sure to present a realistic picture that is both honest and manageable. Now, let me kind of give you a wrap-up on that. Your responses during a time of upset, difficulty, trials, tribulations, disaster, whatever it might be, be aware that after a disaster, children are most afraid of four things. One, that the event will happen again. Mm-hmm. And foster children that they will have to return to wherever they were taken away from.
Right.
Two, someone is going to be injured or killed. Something yucky is going to happen. Mm-hmm. Three, they have a fear that they're going to be separated from family, and that ties into number four. There is that fear of being left alone. And you addressed that earlier, Mariah, when you're having a child take a time out. When you make them take a time out, you might want to, if you're going to do that, be sure that they know where you are, that you haven't just disappeared.
Yeah, so you're within their eyesight, preferably.
Yes, in their eyesight. Mm-hmm. And their time out can be just sitting in the corner of the kitchen if you're cooking or wherever that might be.
Now, I'm glad you brought that up. I wrote an article about stressed out parents equals stressed out children.
Oh, yes.
And so you're just right on target there, because what we have found, to give you an example, with foster children, let's just say we have a foster child goes to a new family. Then usually it's the mama, so the mom and dad are just like, oh my gosh, they're doing this, they're doing that. I just can't do it. It's not what I thought it would be. We're like, in two whole days, you know, a three-year-old and a one-year-old has put you over the edge. We have a problem. Did you not pay attention in training? The exact same children move to another family, another brand new family. Now, mind you, same children, in fact, they're actually more traumatized now because they've had another move.
Yes.
And yet these parents are going, oh my gosh, these are great kids. Oh, I'm so excited to be a foster parent. So what's the problem? The problem is the foster parents and how they're perceiving becoming foster parents and how they're handling the additional stress. So they felt overwhelmed, that's going to be overwhelming to the child. They said, oh, well, the children are crying a lot. Well, guess what? Yes, they are crying a lot because they're already traumatized and whatever they've been through. But now the fact that you're all stressed out, that would make me cry too if I was 3 years old. I'm like, where am I and why is this person really, really stressed and looking at me in a weird way? But the children moved to this new home, wonderfully. And
well,
so really
you have to look at children that they are just mirror images of the environment they're in.
Yes. And so that means that we as parents then need to look at how can we be as whole as possible, as peaceful as possible, so that we can create that peaceful environment for our children. It's so much easier to say, how can I fix the kid instead of how can I fix myself? And so what are some things that just, we have a few things we want to end up with, but let's say if there's a person listening, could be anybody, foster parent, a teenager, but they just feel overwhelmed in life. What are some practical things? What are some things that they can do so that they can really live life to the fullest?
Okay, the parents, and let me understand your question. The parents to be able to enjoy this whole process.
Yeah, or they're feeling overwhelmed with themselves. Okay,
chill.
Go ahead.
Just enjoy life. Yes. Life is an adventure to be lived, not a problem to be solved.
Mm. Oh, I'm going to write that down. That's awesome.
Yeah. Life is an adventure to be lived, not a problem to be solved. Look at all of these problems and challenges as an adventure. This is something we're going to get through, and you're going to set yourself up with a mindset that is positive, that's looking forward to each day rather than each day is a problem that we've got to solve it, and oh my goodness.
Oh, that's good. It is how you see life.
Yes.
Is how life will be. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's awesome. Okay, let's see. And then we have just a couple more minutes. Share with us, you and I both believe what we put into our body oftentimes comes out in behavior, and not to mention, of course, health. And if you feel bad, sometimes you act bad. So what are some practical things we can do to get ourselves in a better position in life, health-wise?
Well, I have some natural health and healing type of things, just natural things. And in this part of the country, I think we put Tabasco on just about everything. I do put Tabasco on my salad. Now, not a lot, but just a little bit. I usually mix it in with either blue cheese or ranch dressing. But the Tabasco is cayenne pepper, has capsicum in it, and the chemical that makes pepper, that's the chemical that makes peppers hot.
Mm-hmm.
But it also ignites the healing power by improving your blood flow, and it blasts through blockages, and it brings healing energy to every cell in your body. And really, truthfully, cayenne peppers and the Tabasco can treat everything from heart disease to digestive problems. And most people that have digestive problems say, I can't eat that stuff. Well, if they're having a problem with that, and they say, well, we've got this heartburn, then it's get some Bragg's apple cider vinegar with the mother in it. This is not the apple cider vinegar that is clear and crystal clear you get on the grocery shelf. You usually have to go to a health food store or something to get Bragg's apple cider vinegar, and it's cloudy looking.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've got to have this heartburn or you've got this acid reflux, it's not the fact that you have too much acid. It's that you don't have enough digestive juices because you may have killed off the flora and fauna in your body that's not just digesting. But just take a teaspoon of it. If you don't like the taste of vinegar, put it in some warm water and just drink maybe a half of a coffee cup full with a teaspoon of this apple cider vinegar in it. If you want to go online, there's lots and lots and lots of cures that apple cider vinegar brings about.
Yeah, that's even great for children. It helps balance their little systems and helps their little pH balance. And it's interesting. You might be thinking, what does this have to do with what we've been talking about? If your body is out of balance and you're too acidic or too alkaline, which I have a feeling we need to do a whole show about all that. You can feel out of sorts, and then you act out of sorts, and you have a parent who's kind of just out of sorts. You know, when you just don't feel right, and then you know how you see kids, and they just don't, they're not sick, but they just aren't happy, and they're inside, they just don't feel that good. So if you can give the children internally health things to create health, things that make their body feel good, then it's easier for their brain and mind and their heart to feel good.
Yes.
So we really are all connected, body, mind, spirit, soul. And so we want to help them in all areas. And we are going to be doing a show about this, but we just want to give you a few things. So we throw out, really, if you can, keep children off of sugar and a lot of food dyes. That also creates hyperactivity. It can create, or it can do the opposite in some children and create depression. What's one or two last things, because we're just about out of time?
A couple of things. Onions and garlic. Onions are nature's own penicillin, and garlic fight both bacteria and viruses.
Mm-hmm.
Antibiotics only work on bacteria, but onions and garlic both fight bacteria and viruses. Onions and garlic lower cholesterol. They enlarge your blood vessels. They prevent heart attacks and strokes. And the onions and garlic are a naturalized cancer cure.
Or help.
Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
So you can make a soup. Just get you some chicken broth, and I call it cog soup, and you put a little bit of that cayenne pepper in it for the C, the chicken soup for a C. And you put in the onions and garlic, and also for another C, chop up a little bit of cabbage in that, and don't bring it to a boil, but simmer it for just a little while until the cabbage and the onions and garlic are very soft, and that is the best healing soup you could ever put together.
We are
out
of time.
Children will love it, and you will too.
I know what I'm having for dinner. God bless you. I sure appreciate that. We are going to be listening and learning, re-listening to this show often. I know it. Y'all come back. We'll be back here tomorrow night. You're listening to Life Matters on the Word, 98.5 and 99.3. Check us out at familylinkkids.com.
Well, thank you for having me.
Oh, I'm so glad you were with us.
Okay.
Give me your eyes for just 1 second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see.